Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Flyover Ministry. Maybe you are listening to this as you are enjoying a nice cold ice cream. And if that's the case, I would encourage you to just savor it. Just savor it. Don't be a monster and chew it. Like, just let it melt in your mouth. Enjoy all the nuanced flavors. Jordan, I know that in the past you've talked about being a fan of ice cream. I'm curious if you have a particular favorite flavor.
I'm a vanilla guy, just because I think it's so versatile with what you can do with it, and I like it plain, so it's kind of where I land.
All right. Just the classic vanilla?
Or is there a special niche that you like?
I do tend towards, it's called Bear Creek Caramel. It's just a nice salted caramel swirl in the middle with peanut butter cups. That is usually my go-to. Or if I'm feeling adventurous, ice cream place here in Fergus Falls called Uncle Eddie's would recommend. They have a monster cookie ice cream, which is incredible as well. But maybe what?
No, I was just gonna say, like, yeah, we've got a local ice cream place too, the Ishba Creamery, that's got all those different flavors. Like, they had an apple pie ice cream.
Oh my word.
Like, it was an apple. No, there's a couple different things that went into building it, but they had, like, as the base is cinnamon ice cream. And then, ooh. Yeah. So, I mean, ooh. Just things like that are great, but
strong start.
Yeah. So there's a lot to explore, but I still have to say vanilla.
A new flavor that was added here, peanut butter cookies and cream, which was, after having sampled it, said, oh, yeah, nope, Bear Creek Caramel. we are stalling here, but just icebreaker questions as we start off. We're continuing our series talking about making connections and bridging the differences between generations within our congregations and how we, as a youth leader, or as a just adult or individual within our congregations, how we can try and encourage and build something that is not only meaningful, but is in line with the mission of our church and will help strengthen our local Christian communities. So as we're talking today, if you haven't picked up on the title of the episode before you hit play, we're talking about creating connections specifically with the elderly. And Jordan had quite a cliffhanger from our last episode. We're going to talk a little bit about ways and places for you to be able to start. This isn't going to be like one of those self-help programs where it's, you know, lose weight in five easy ways and two simple steps. We're just going to give you some ideas, some things that maybe will spark a conversation for you to have with others in your church. And it would be just a tremendous honor if even you use this as a launching point, if you're listening to this together. Not saying that you are obligated to do so, but I don't know, just nice to know that you are creating something that's being used and appreciated. So that being said, Jordan, let's get into this.
Yeah, so as we're looking at creating connections with the elderly, and I think, you know, this is going to be, throughout the rest of the month, something that we revisit, is we have the principle, we have what we want to accomplish, but then there's a little bit of murkiness on how do we get there. And as we're thinking about fostering connections specifically for students with the elderly, that's what we mean by this. There's some questions and there are some hurdles that we recognize and some bridges that need to be built. And so we can get some, you know, visionary ideas of, like, brainstorm all sorts of things and plan for something huge. But that might be really intimidating. So we want to kind of dial this down and just kind of put some first principles in order here. And this is not going to blow your socks off. This is not going to be some tip that you've never heard before, because we're going to the standard of pray. You know, I think this is something that we overlook sometimes with how important this is. But simply pray about it and invite other people into the conversation with you or into praying with you about it. Lord, just like say, Lord, we know that this is a desire of your heart for us, and we know that we're not maybe where we should be with this. God, would you show us how we can take steps to make us a more healthy congregation in this area, to reflect your heart? And having those conversations with leaders as you're praying about it too, inviting them into the process. And with the leaders, we're talking about the pastor is going to be a great one. You know, I would hope that many pastors would recognize the value of this. My suspicion would be that there would be many that would agree, but they're just kind of like, I don't have the time right now to specifically invest in this one area alone. And so that might just be where they're at with that. And so you might find a good partner in that. Just like, yeah, we can pray about it and I'll speak from the front about it and highlight things like that. That could be really powerful. With your elder board and your council, and just like, you know, if you've ever spent time, and I hope you do, of sitting together and considering, like, where is the Lord leading our congregation? What does he want to do as we're strategically planning for the future? I would say, too, it's just a friendly aside, if that's not a part of what your congregation is doing, maybe we can consider that, too, of just like, are we intentionally making plans for what we're prioritizing in the future? So that's going to be the first step. And then as you're praying and bringing things in, then we start to lean into the adults of the congregation, right? Like now we can start with the groundwork in place, exploring a little bit. And this is maybe more of, if you're thinking about a legal case, discovery, right? So this is where the information of where we're actually at can be ascertained. As a youth worker, you might have a perspective on this that's different than a lot of the adults. You might be able to say, I need my students to be meaningfully connected with adults. This is something that's really important. And as I survey on a typical Sunday morning, the reality of our congregation, I am not seeing these generations connecting. I'm not seeing much happening in this realm. And so you might see that and say, this needs to be addressed. But a typical church member might just be saying like, well, I'm here, I'm sitting at my normal table, everything's fine, you know, nothing to really complain about, same old, but that's just how I like it. And so part of us, as we're looking at how do we make these connections with the elderly, is helping to expose that this is something that we need to work on, right? Until you see the need for a problem, there's no reason to address the problem. So, and this could be an easy fix. You know, I would say one thing that I have done was a fairly easy seminar. It was kind of the mode behind it was like the concept of being a grand friend to students. But I started with just taking pictures of all of our students. And, you know, when we had the people gathering, it just each one, tell me what you know about this person, starting with their name. And that was, I think, for a lot of the adults that were there, and I've heard positively, like, we need to do this again with hopefully a broader group, but was just like that realization of, wow, I don't know much about these kids. And and that was where you start to see people make this connection of, well, okay, there is a problem here, right? So, like, well, there's so many analogies you could use medically. Like, you're not going to get treatment for something you don't know you have. But once you know you have it, then you can start the process of how do we treat this, right? So that's a couple of ideas of early on, where do we start from here? And once we know the problem, then we can start to introduce, here's some simple ideas of how we can start to address this and build this into the culture of our congregation.
Yeah, the other component of what you've said here, too, is that maybe you do have adults that see it as a, I don't necessarily even like the word problem on this, but just as a an absence within their church. Like we see that this is a need that we have. We see the importance, but we just don't know how to go about meeting it. And we see the issue, but I just lack the creativity and the know-how to like enter into that world, because for a lot of people, even as with us as youth workers, you know, teenagers in their own right, in their own way, can be really intimidating, mainly because of the culture that is often attached with them. I don't know how to use a smartphone. Okay, well, you don't need to know how to use a smartphone to build a relationship and to have a conversation with students. You don't necessarily need to know the lyrics to whatever the top song is on the charts right now. Teenagers need to know that there is somebody who can love, who is willing to love them unconditionally. And that is really what you as a youth leader, and as leaders within the church, are trying to encourage your older people to find out, not just to learn about students, but to, you know, you're not just doing student trivia. But I do think that is a good idea, Jordan. I don't mean to be sounding like I'm deflating that, because I think that's terrific. You know, how well do our adults know our students? But to actually use that as a doorway to be able to say, I know that Sarah has a math test this week, or I know that, you know, this student is having some problems at home because their parents are kind of in the middle of a bit of a struggle. Maybe his family's, his parents are getting divorced, and I want to try and come alongside this student as best as I can, and to help love and support them in the middle of this. We don't even have to talk about the divorce, but I want them to know that there's somebody here who cares about them. And I think you are, as a youth leader, have an incredible opportunity to be able to initiate and encourage that kind of conversation and relationship to start, right? Because there's, I think, some simple steps for growing engagement in everyday life as well. And you think back to Deuteronomy 6, what we read last week, right? All of the scenarios, it's not the profound teaching moments, but it's the everyday kind of humdrum moments where, you know what, I need to run errands and I have an extra seat and maybe they are just available for some reason and I'm just going to bring them to go grocery shopping today. Or you've mentioned the quilting ministry that takes place at your church, right? Inviting students into something like that. You have an opportunity, I think, to help encourage and build your church in that regard. And honestly, like if that's what a lot of your youth ministry budget goes to, then I'd say full steam ahead. Some of our listeners might be like, youth ministry budget, what's that?
Yeah, and I think a lot of this too, I want to touch on this, is going to come down to how you, as the voice for the students in your congregation, is going to communicate this, especially if we're talking about, like, going back to this, that seminar, the end result is not to be like, shame on you for not knowing these kids. How could you? You know, that's nope. That's not the right tone. So you might be tempted to do that, but simply just like exposing, like, this is, we've got some really amazing students that God has blessed us with. Like, this person is excellent at the trumpet. This person likes to show pigs and stuff. And you know, there's parts of their personality that maybe an adult could be like, oh, that gives me something that I can talk with them about. And you know, you're saying this is a part of who they are as a person. And similarly, like, just think about the things that make you, and what would you like to be known for? And do you think the students know that about you? It goes both ways. But focusing on the adults first, specifically because at some point you recognize, who are you going to ask to be an adult in the relationship here? Mm-hmm. And that leads then to kind of like you said, there's maybe some people who have a heart for students already, but that gap that exists between is pretty big. And they're just, I don't know how to connect with these kids. And so how to maybe step into that is, we as leaders can introduce, and you're going to know your congregation too. You're going to be able to first model, like, if you see something that's happening, you already talked about this, Dan, about, you know, I see this and investing in and talking to those people and saying, this is what I see happening. Discipleship is happening. You might not see it as such, but this is a win, and celebrating that. And that's important to be able to encourage them in that way. And for others, it's how do we maybe grease the wheels a little bit? How do we create easy opportunities for them to plug in ways that can maybe grow, right? And so a couple ideas that we've had in our own congregation here, I think we've talked about Tony Stouter or Souter and the Pray For Me campaign a little bit before.
Oh, yeah.
His concept was coming out of this, uniting the generations, having, I think his original thing is each year having adults from three different generations praying for each student. And then you can kind of like multiple years, you have multiple partners. And like you mentioned, Dan, when you look at the number of kids you have and the number of adults in your congregation that might be willing to do something like this, you're like, that's not sustainable. And so maybe it's just a lack of faith in my part, but I haven't tried to do it full blow like that. But what I have done is I have incorporated this into the confirmation thing where I have the students identify who is someone that has a faith that you admire. So even in asking that question, when I'm approaching the adults, then I can say, this student has seen your faith lived out in some way, and they want to model that a little bit. And so then the adults is like, wow, I'm being noticed by this student. And then you create this opportunity. Would you be willing to pray for this student over this next year? And then I think one of the things that makes this accessible is you hand them the book that's got, for however many weeks, prayers that are printed out. You read it. And I mean, most people are literate enough to read, and you're just taking away some of the confusion and say, this is going to, here's something, you don't have to use it, but if you're looking for a place to start, here is scripture that you can pray over this student. And, you know, at the very least, that is, as you pray for them, I think God's going to soften your heart to them, and, you know, you're going to notice them. And I think God can do great things through that.
And I think also even did... just, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, the thinking of the word of mouth from formerly reluctant adults in this as well. Like, this is why you bring other people involved in this, is that, you know what, I didn't think I had anything really to offer, or I didn't really think that this was something that I would actually be good at, but I've actually found and grown to actually really enjoy this time with these people, with these students, with these members that I otherwise wouldn't have really gotten to know. And I've really gotten to appreciate them. I think of like a handful of times, not just here at Dalton, but other times when we've had like an older congregation member pass away and the students that they were mentoring coming to the funeral, like getting out of school to come to that. It's like, 1,000%. Yes. Like that is an incredible testimony of the impact this individual has had in the life of these kids.
Yeah. And, you know, that's been something that I've seen too over the seasons that I've done it. One relationship in particular stands out where the guy is just like, I don't know how this is working because I can't connect with kids, but this is working, and it's been really great to watch that unfold. And then
the mild panic.
Yeah.
It's working. You know,
there's a little bit of that. And you see God's hand at work in that too, which has been really, really kind of fun. Another thing that we've done, we just launched it this year, was kind of a Bible buddy program. It's not an official, I mean, it's kind of, I came up with the name just because there was alliteration. That's what I do. But okay.
I saw it on our outline, and I was wondering, like, what? I don't know what Bible Buddies is, but I will let Jordan take this.
Yes. So it's another prayer point connection with the student. And for our fourth graders who are leaving fourth grade, what we've done is we find the Bible, and then we ask for someone to sponsor it. So there would be, you know, I think it was $25 this year per student. And so the sponsors would pay for the Bible. We'll order it. We'll hand it to them as the sponsors so that they could write something inside, and they'll pick a student that is in that fourth grade class that's finished up, and we'll have them some Sunday morning during the service. we'll call the student and the sponsors up, and we'll pray for the student. And so the student gets to see who their sponsors are. I think that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And then what I started doing, I had another prayer this year just because this was our first year doing it. I didn't want to scare potential sponsors away being like, I have to pray in front of the congregation, you know? So I want to make it easy for that. But the sponsor's also then committing to praying for the student. And in the invitation letter, I had the opportunity to talk through, like, this is why, you know, we want to go down this path, because students need caring adults to notice them, to engage with them and stuff like that. And so it's just one more prayer point. So then ideally we'd have a student who now has one prayer partner or a couple from fourth grade, a couple years getting into confirmation. Now there's another one that's introduced. And, you know, this is slowly starting. And I recognize that. This, like, compared to what the Pray For Me campaign really originally was this is very small. But it's little steps like this that start to allow the congregation to see these things happen. And the testimony then of that guy who's like, I don't get how this is working, but this is great, now might start pulling out other people to say, like, hey, you should do this too. And, you know, people right. see these opportunities, and then you have positive peer pressure happening like that.
Yeah, you're just planting seeds, and, you know, we'll see what grows. We'll see how far this goes in our church. And sticking with it, I think, is going to be the key, because this is going to take a bit of time. I'd say at least a few seasons to get any serious traction or significant fruit. You might see fruit that first year, just with little signs and markers like, you know what, this is happening, and wanting to encourage these adults in this capacity. I do think having some good resources for them to walk through is really important. Just to be able to have something that is measurable and just being able to process through, but to have them focus and say, we want you to focus on the relationship, not the fact like, oh, we finished this curriculum, they're discipled now. No, that's, you finished the curriculum, but the discipleship, the relationship side of this is what is key in this kind of relationship. So, you know, things to remember as well as you consider this, many adults are going to be willing, and they may be willing, but they just don't know how to press through any of these roadblocks that are present. So to be the leader that is there to help guide them through, and I think this, again, what speaks to what you were saying, Jordan, it matters to have your senior pastor or the rest of your church board on board with what you're trying to do, so that you can help guide and navigate all of these roadblocks that may be present. You may also see that adults need a little bit of encouragement throughout the year, just to check in from you as a leader to say, hey, how are things going? Are you doing okay? How can I help you do what you're doing? And to be that resource, not just for the students, but for the adults that are in this process as well. I mean, how much training have you received as a leader? How many conferences or retreats have you been able to go to that some of these other people haven't been able to? So you want to be able to recognize that. You want to be sensitive to that. But you also want to be the one who's able to just converse with the adults to find out where they're at and how you can help them.
Yeah. And, you know, your job then as the youth leader or volunteer, chief connection person, if you will, is going to be doing that encouragement and coaching and supplying them with these things. You might have the awareness from the opportunities you've had, from the training you've received, of how to point to certain things. And even just like, maybe it's something as simple as an app that could be, that has good questions mm-hmm. that you could say, hey, have this with you, and then pull it out sometime and just, you know, use it for your family, use it for the kid. It's just one of those conversation pieces, but it gets something started. And then once a conversation starts, I don't know too many people who, when they're engaged in a conversation, have to pause and like say, okay, now we need a new prompt. You know, it kind of takes care of itself. So
it's not an improv class.
Right. So it's more about getting things started, right? I think another key that's really important for us to remember in this aspect of ministry too, though, is that we need to remember that the adults in this intergenerational ministry, they're not a means to an end. They're a part of the ministry. They're not just a tool of the ministry. And sometimes we can talk in such a way of like, these are just people to leverage. But we need to remember that they're people too, and we seek to serve and honor them. And that means that we need to then work on knowing the needs of the adults in the congregation ourselves so that we can model that to the students, right? We can be the one that facilitates, hey, this person's going to need help with some yard work this year. This person might need some meals made for them. Let's see what we can do to model that connection with them.
Yeah. I just keep coming back to the fact that it can't be a just you show.
Right.
Right. It can't be just you as the leader in any regard of ministry. You need other people there. There's things that you are interested in. Just speaking of myself personally, we've got a handful of students who I found out are kind of interested in learning how to do some woodworking. Well, I know how to do that. I've got the tools. I've got the space. Just come on over. You know what I'm not good at doing? Keeping plants alive. And we have students that are actually kind of interested in gardening as well. And we don't really have a great spot for gardening, mainly because we live on top of a hill and all of our good nutritious soil gets washed away throughout the year. So to find other adults to say, you know what, they actually have a huge garden. Mm-hmm. And I bet if you were to ask them, like, hey, I'd actually like to compare notes and just to go pull weeds or help you with the garden, they would love it. I mean, honestly, they would appreciate the help. They would, I think, enjoy the chance to get to know you a little better. You know, we've got people who might like to go hiking or do a little bit more adventurous stuff. Or, you know, I really like to try and find some new fishing spots. We've got all sorts of adults that, you know, if you were to be asking them, encouraging students to ask or to even encourage the adults to ask the students. I mean, think of how impactful that would be. To have somebody come and say, hey, I'm going fishing this week. You want to come? Man, yeah, just an open invite like that, that speaks volumes to those kids. Adults going out of their way to an age group that they were formerly intimidated by. Man, I mean, that's huge.
Yep. And yeah, that's a good thing. And I want to affirm your life choices, Dan. If keeping plants alive is not something you're good at, probably good to not carry on the family business of farming. So way to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So think through what do you have available in your congregation? Who are the people that you get to know and that you can connect students with? I mean, there's a lot that we have easy steps to start the process on. And once this process goes, you gain momentum and God does great things. So I want to encourage you with that. And then next week, we're going to take a look at kind of the other side of the equation, getting our students connected with maybe younger students and how that can be significant for their spiritual development. So as you wait, we pray that you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.